Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. Good news, the Lord is doing great and marvelous things through this worldwide network. It looks like I'm going to have to go back to 2 hours each show, but I'm still praying about that, and I'm asking the listeners to pray with me regarding that. But I thank God for what he's doing through this ministry. But you are, once again, in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. And we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. But on tonight, I'm asking all the listeners, and especially the first-time listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens, get your paper ready. Why? Because I would like you to see and read it for yourself what thus says the Lord to his people through his word, because the word of God tells us that we, his people, perish because of the lack of knowledge. So we want you to be able to read it for yourself. We don't want you to be guessing about what is being said. We want you to know what's coming directly from God's word for yourself. We always open up with prayer. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please go into prayer with me at this time, because we serve an awesome, powerful God who can hear all of our prayers at the same time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, is once again, it's in that precious name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten beloved Son. It's in his name we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made and you have allowed us to see. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come now in the name of Jesus Christ, starting with myself, asking that you will forgive me, my entire family, and not only us, but every faithful, humble, committed doer of your word all over the land. Heavenly Father, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions in the name of Jesus, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain, so that you will be able to continue to move and work through us, that your will be done through us, that our God purposes individually and as a corporate body will be fulfilled in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. And Father, we now lift up all those that may be tuning in on tonight who do not have a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, who are not saved in his name. It's our prayer, Lord, that through your word on tonight, it's, something will be said that will prick their hearts and minds to the point that they will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ on tonight. And they will ask him to come into their hearts, and they will ask him to be that they will be saved in his name on tonight, that you will be glorified. Heavenly Father, we pray now, and we ask that you will move by your spirit, comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved on tonight. We lift up the family, Heavenly Father, we lift, in a special prayer on tonight for the family of five from Northville, Michigan. This past Sunday, they was heading home from Kentucky, and they was killed in a car accident. The entire family of five, and even the driver that caused the accident was killed. So we want to lift up all those that were affected by this accident, and we want you, Heavenly Father, to let them feel your presence, let them remember and know that you are in control, Heavenly Father, that earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal, not only for that family, not only for those families but that has been affected by this, but everyone that is are bereaved on tonight, you know who they are and where they are. So we ask that you would comfort and strengthen them as only you can, Heavenly Father. And we also lift up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are incarcerated behind prison bars for just and unjust reasons. Let them know, Heavenly Father, even though they are incarcerated, we pray, Lord, that you would send a vessel through those in facilities that they would be able to hear words. And even though they're incarcerated, they can still be saved on tonight. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would have your way on tonight. Help us to decrease so that you would increase in us on tonight, that your will be done through your word on tonight. Heavenly Father, we come as a corporate body of believers on tonight. We lift up our president to you, Heavenly Father. We know that you are in total control. We know that you still sit high and you look low. We know that you still have all power in heaven and earth in your hands, and no matter what it looks like, we know that you are in total control. So, Heavenly Father, we lift him up to you, Lord, that you would touch his heart, touch his mind, Lord, because we know that you are sitting high, and you see the situation. Heavenly Father, it is getting to a point that if you don't intervene, we don't know what is going to the outcome is going to be. So we know that you are able to touch his heart, Lord, that he would be able to show love and compassion for your people, Heavenly Father, and do what's right for all people, that you would be glorified. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we pray and ask that you will continue to bless each listener, grant them the desires of their hearts. And oh God, we pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and minds, that they would continue to spread the good news about this ministry, that others can tune in and be blessed through your word. Is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those that are touching and remember this prayer said amen. Well, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, the beauty of life does not depend on how happy you are, but on how happy others can be because of you. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, the beauty of life does not depend on how happy you are, but on how happy others can be because of you. I have one announcement before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox as he's ready to deliver God's word again on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to receive God's word on tonight, please write down this information. The Lord has opened doors for other hosts to have shows up under my direction, and I would like for you all to take these times and dates and names of the shows and the host names so that you can tune in and be blessed by God's word through these other vessels that he is using to spread the good news of Jesus Christ through this worldwide ministry, through this worldwide platform. And I just thank God that he saw fit to enable me to open these doors by his direction that others can share the good news of Jesus Christ. So the first we have, theologically speaking, with Jose Dorsey. Theologically speaking, with Jose Dorsey, he is the host. His show airs each first and third Thursday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Then we have Ministry I'm Possible with host Minister Sharon Rambis. Minister Sharon Rambis is the minister, he's a young minister at the church where I am also a member, which is none other than Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, Church in Detroit, Michigan, where our bishop and shepherd is none other than Bishop James A. Jennings. But Minister Sharon Rambis has his own show up on my direction as well. And his show title, once again, is Ministry I'm Possible. His show airs each and every second Thursday night. Again, second Thursday night and fourth Saturday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Then we have, she is a psychologist. She is a young woman of God, and I love how she put the word of God on each situation dealing with her patients. She has a show titled Clinically Speaking with host Sierra Renee. Clinically Speaking with host Sierra Renee. Again, she is a psychologist. Her show airs each and every fourth Thursday night and every first Saturday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. So I thought I would share that good news with you. If you have not already been tuning in to them and hear what the Lord is saying through them as well, for you that are listening that would like to tune in and be blessed by God's word through these vessels as well, though I thank God for what he's doing through this worldwide ministry and platform that we are able to open the doors for others to share the good news of Jesus Christ and be a blessing to his people. So right now, we are ready to receive the word of God on tonight. But before we go into the word on tonight, again, we're going to receive a word on tonight from none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be bringing forth the word very shortly. We're going to go to a music break, and I pray that you will be blessed by it, because you know what? We are living in a time that we need to be praying one ye for another. The word of God says we are to watch as well as pray, but we are to be praying one for another. So that's why right now I am going to go to a music break. Pray for me. After this music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Get with me? What happened to that one? The devil is alive. Just bear with me just 1 second, listeners. I push one button, then the devil comes and do something totally different. But he is a liar. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you what, we're going to go forth without the music break on tonight. And we're going to go forth with Deacon Marvin Cox. And we're going to have Deacon Marvin Cox come forth with the word on tonight. So, again, listeners, I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to deliver God's word. And as usual, he's going to share with us on tonight, as always, he always shares with us an inspirational poem first, and then he's going to go directly into God's word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Once again, first of all, I'd like to give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the head of my life, to God, my Father, to Brother Brown, to all of the listeners. I'd like to say unto you, greetings and salutations, and also a happy new year. Okay, the poem that I have tonight is When is Enough Actually Enough? This is a question that's frequently asked. When is enough actually enough? Is it when I gorge myself on a hearty meal and have to push myself away from the table but still have room in my stomach to wash it down with a large drink? I think not. Or is it when I can no longer maintain my composure and I rebel violently against those people and things which I consider to be my oppressors? Once again, I think not. When one is oppressed, he must call upon his inner strength to overcome adversity and suppress any notions of harming anyone who treads on their frail and unpredictable ego. Is enough enough when one's resources can no longer maintain the standard of living that many years of hard labor has afforded them? There are supplements and many solutions to this. What about when the family unit breaks down and it seems like love took off for higher ground and replaced by hatred and bickering? You should know by now that hate and love are members of the same family. They are siblings of the passion, emotional family. God has given us different amounts of patience, tolerance, compassion, mercy, love, and understanding to distribute the same way he gave it to us. These are tools that we can use to construct a well-balanced life. When you find yourself running short of these precious commodities, ask the Lord to replenish them. You never feel that you can when you feel that you can never take it anymore and react out of your frustrations. One day you will look back and laugh about what you were tempted to almost do because you thought that you had enough and you couldn't take it anymore. What if Jesus said, "Father, I can't take it anymore," and said, "It's enough is enough"? Or where will we be? In your times of dilemma, put your worries in God's hand and learn to trust in him. You are stronger than you can ever imagine. Don't give in to fleshly impulses. I will end this by asking the same question that I started off with. When is enough truly enough? The answer, when God says it's enough. Amen. I'd like to now straightway go into tonight's lesson. For those of you that are first-time listeners, I'd like to say welcome. And for those of you that have been on board for a while, I'd also like to say welcome. And once again, Happy New Year's. This is, as I constantly say, and I will never get tired of saying that, about the awesome responsibility that it is to bring someone God's word. I'd also like to say that I'm glad that God trusts me in that manner. It keeps me to the point where I have to continue to do what is right and in his eyesight. Now, we have a topic tonight that is coming from the gospel recorded by St. John. I thought we're going to have, as Brother Brown said, I hope that you have your Bible with you so we can skip from scripture to scripture to confirm what is being said. But our thought is coming from the gospel recorded by St. John, the 9th chapter and the 4th verse. And I'm reading to you from the King James Version. And it reads, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Amen. Just read to you from the book of St. John, 9th chapter, the 4th verse. And may the Lord add a blessing to reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. Now, our topic for this evening is a solution to the resolution. And see, at this time of the year, last year, we couldn't wait for a new year to begin so that we could drop some of the things that we were doing that were of an ungodly nature. Even things that were pertaining to ourselves, we made resolutions that I want to lose weight. I want to give more to the house of prayer. I want to be a better person. So to make a resolution is to make a declaration that once and it's a future thing. It's not a now thing. It's a future thing. And to make that resolution, one must be mindful that there is something in their life that needs to be changed. And we all, especially church folk, as I put it, or church folk as they sometimes call, we know that in order to get our life in order, that we must lose some things. We must stop doing some things that are offensive to God. Now, losing weight is a matter of personal preference. Doing things, I want to get a car. I resolve to do this. I resolve to do that. These are things of a personal nature. But see, we're going to elevate right now from the personal to the spiritual. Now, the verse read, St. John, the 9th chapter, 4 verse, says, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. For the night come, and no man can work. So we're going to talk about three things here. We're going to talk about the resolution, we're going to talk about the solution, and we're going to talk about the procrastination. And see, it's the procrastination that gets in our way. And I'm going to give you, at the end of this presentation, I'm going to give you the solution to what it is that must be done. Now, we, as I said, we resolve to do things. And when you make a resolution, if I can briefly just give you a few descriptions of resolution, it is to make a declaration that a future event that I am determined to be steadfast. I am determined to be resolute. It's an intention. It is a decision. It is my aspiration. It is my design to do all of these things. It is my firmness of purpose and my single-minded. It is my strength of will or character, my fixity of purpose. And it makes me unshakable and steadfast and persistent in those things in which I have declared that I would do. But as usual, or as most times, procrastination gets in the way. It prevents me from doing the things that I had vowed that I would do. But see, that's being resolute. It gives me the staying power, the commitment, the stick-to-itness, the inflexibility. Yes, that's right. I said inflexibility because when it comes down to the Lord, if I'm doing what he says do, I'm supposed to be inflexible. I'm not supposed to bend in no type of way. The boldness, the brave, the courage. I'm supposed to have smunk. I'm supposed to have grit in doing all of these things that I have made a declaration that I would do for the Lord. And see, the procrastination part are the things that we, as I say, that we do that prevent us from having a better relationship with the Lord. Now, John, the author of John, the gospel is recorded by St. John, was telling us, he was saying because we must personalize it. He said, I, not you, not my sister, not my wife, not my brother, not my cousin, but I. See, that's just as personal as it can get when you say I, which means me. I must work the work of him that sent me. So God has given me an assignment, and he wants me to secure that without delay. He wants me to secure that to the extent that he knows that I'm on top of it, that I'm going to complete that assignment. And see, that's, as I've said before, that's what gets us in trouble. So many times when we have an assignment and we think that we got more than enough time, which God is fair. Even the Lord told his father, he said, Father, I gave them ample enough time. And ample means more than enough to repent, and they repented not. So I think that it's best to do whatever it is that God will have you to do while it's day, while you still have the time, while the blood is still running warm in your veins. For nighttime come, or death, or darkness, or however you want to put it, to no man, you know, you can go past the graveyard, and all you see working there is the grave diggers and the gardeners. Those are the only two people that really work in the graveyard. Everybody else is, what they say, is at rest. And see, we're going to talk about procrastination and the things that it does to you, things that it does to other people. Okay, he says, because of slothfulness, you wait for the last moment to do something that needs to be done. That's That's a form of procrastination, being slowful in the things that God has assigned you to do. See, because of fear, we procrastinate about sharing our faith to people at work, people on the job, to our neighbors, and so forth and on, our relatives. We procrastinate because we're supposed to spread the good news of Christ. So we become major procrastinators when it comes down to doing these things. Okay? And then we try to wait for the optimum time to do something rather than doing it right now. And there is no optimum time. How many times have we seen or we've been in the midst of people who have told us, when I get myself right, I'm coming to the house of prayer? But see, whether we know it or not, that is a mockery unto God, because he says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And it's impossible for you, me, or anybody else to get right on our own. We need help from the Divine Father. We need help from the Lord in order to do that, in order to fulfill our God purpose. We have to submit. And as I say, it's a mockery to God, because whatever it is that I have made a resolution to do, I want to hold on to it. Because we have a right now, God, and some things that we do in life, we cannot put it down on our own. Some of us can't stop gambling, can't stop smoking, can't stop doing this, can't stop doing that. So when the Lord was praying to his Father, he said, Father, take this bitter cup. Over there in Matthew, he said, take this bitter cup from me. So we have to ask the Lord to take the taste of liquor out of our mouth. Take the excitement of lust from our loins. And to say, Lord, in 3 weeks, I'm going to quit. Why not do it now? Because the Bible says in so many occasions, in that self same hour, the Lord moves. So immediately, if not sooner, we have to learn how to move ourselves out of the way when it comes down to matters of God. See, because that resolution is good, because I'm determined, you determined, we determined that whatever it is that's an affront to God, that I want to discontinue this thing. I don't want it to come. I don't want it to be an offense to God. But some of us, okay, this year is just 10 days old. And some of the things that we have resolved to do, made a resolution that we're going to do, guess what? Those same old habits, those same old thoughts have returned to us. So is that God's fault? No, it's not. We did not ask him, Lord, if I'm going to be with you, I know I have to discontinue doing this. I know I have to discontinue doing that. And you tell me in your word that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But my flesh is weak. Strengthen my flesh so that I could resist this thing that is about to overtake me and to overpower me. So, as I said, the procrastination part is something that we all, and I'm not pointing the finger at nobody, I'm pointing the finger mostly at myself. We put off things, and I'm going to go right over here to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, and it reads, don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. Some of us, and I have a granddaughter that used to stay with me, and she was a great procrastinator. She, we all had chores that we wanted them to do. So her chores was to wash dishes. And so before I know it, before we know it, we had a whole kitchen full of dishes and so forth, because she would always ask the wife the tender side of me. Grandma, can I do it in the morning? So she procrastinated. And so by the time she finally decided that she would do it, or the time I would put my foot down and say, look, it's time for you to do these dishes. By then, the accumulation had increased. By then, her animosity had increased because her thoughts were, all of these dishes. I didn't dirty up all these dishes, but had she had done them during that designated time, it wouldn't have been so bad. We procrastinate when it comes down to our a lot of things. I mean, you are aware of your own personal procrastination. Now, I'm going to go over here to Proverbs 6, chapter the 6th through the 8th verse, and it says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. So, see, that ant, and I love God's word because it will use different animals or insects as an example of how their characteristics are. I never seen an ant just be still for 1 minute. Always, always moving, always doing something. But doing that appropriate time when the weather is too harsh for them to survive on the outside. They have gathered food. They have done what it is that they should do in order to maintain themselves. So the solution to the resolution, I'm going to give part of the solution to you. Now we know that the solution is the answer itself. It's the answer as to why something is or how to solve something. But the solution is don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't say that in due time, because the time is never right. But when that assignment is yours, because, see, we work and we do things and we time ourselves and doing those things. And in the process of us timing ourselves to do things, it gives us time to do other things. But that designated thing that we were charged to do, that is the most important. 100 times have mother left and say, I want this house clean when I come back. And we knew that she was going to be gone for a while, but then we got so preoccupied with the things that we were doing that when we seen the car coming down the street or possibly her walking down the street from the bus stop, it was too late. Even the Lord, he said he would go to prepare a place for us. But what am I doing while he's going to prepare that place? Am I still being diligent? Am I working the work that of him who sent me? So, my brothers and my sisters, as I say, procrastination is not the answer. Do not put it off. I have a few more verses that I'd like to bring unto you. And it's talking about, as I say, time management. You got to look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord will of us. And see, what word is letting us know now is that don't be foolish in my time management. Now, if things are pretty good right now, prosperity is knocking on quite a few doors. And see, that demon, he has a way of taking us away from God. And that one thing is overtime. Overtime. But God's word said, remember the Sabbath day over there in Exodus and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work. But see, on Sunday you see so many people in the summertime, so many people out there washing their cars and cutting their lawns and doing all these things and not managing their time. But see, God is a fair God. God is wonderful in our distribution of time. He will not put something on you that he know that it's a burden. His word and his commandments, these are not burdens, but these are enhancements. Okay, now we're going over here to Colossians, the 4th chapter, 5th verse. It says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. So if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, then I don't have time to waste. Now, after I do what I do, then if I got some time, then I could use that for my leisure. I can use that time to do whatever it is that strikes me at that particular moment. So, as I say, time management is one of the most important things to prevent procrastination. For me to do what it is that needs to be done in my life. For me to execute the commandments of God. For me to be a good steward. For me to be a good husband, a good father, a good neighbor. You see, all of these things, as I was telling you earlier, to not to tell people about how good God has been to me, that's procrastination. I remember when I was coming up, one of the Christmas songs, it sticks with me right now. It says, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Don't hesitate. Go tell it. That's a reason to shout. That's a reason to be happy. And here goes another procrastination. It says, on vows, it says, if a man vows a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. So God's word is telling us that your word is your bond. Our ancient Chinese proverb says that you are the master of the unspoken word. Once it comes out, you become the prisoner. So there's so many different ways that we could procrastinate. But as I say, I'm going to give you a solution to the resolution. Don't wait. Don't faint. Don't allow yourself to be moved. Stay the course. These are things, I mean, because sometimes it's kind of hard. Kind of hard to honor those things which we have put out there. But do the very best that you can to honor those things. God's word is saying that we got to be careful. It says, Ecclesiastes, 5th chapter, 4th and 5th verse. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better you should not vow than you should vow and not break it. Some publications say, than to vow and to break it. In other words, your sincerity when you do these things for the Lord should be the same today, tomorrow, and forevermore. They should not change. The circumstances should not change. If you want to do it for the God, he will allow you to do it. Okay. Now, here go a reminder of this procrastination. James, the 4th chapter, 17th verse says, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Now, can you imagine that? It's a sin to know that I got to tell my brother about that wrongdoing. Because the Bible says, if your brother is wrong, tell him about it. Even though we know Ecclesiastes tells us it's a time and a season for everything. But if God instructs me to instruct that brother, then that's the right time for me to do it. Because other than that, a lot of times when we don't say nothing, people accept that as if we are condoning their activities. And when we finally confront them, the response from them, you ain't been saying nothing about that. I've been doing this for some years, and why are you just not saying something now? Because I have allowed them to get adjusted to it. Now, the old country folks in a situation like that, the farmers, the gardeners, the agriculture people, when it's a virus or something, the word that they will use is that you got to nip that in the bud, because it's going to have effect upon all things that it touches. So some things we have to nip in the bud. We have to know when to do that. Other than that, it don't have no effectiveness if I do it on my own. But if God tell me to do it and he instruct me to do it, I'm not supposed to stick around for the results. I'm supposed to do what it is that God says, and how they say nowadays, keep it moving. And I'm going to go back to James 4 and 17, because it's I just read it to you, but I want to read it again. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. That's scary. That's scary. So who am I more afraid of? Am I more afraid of my son because he stayed out all night, and before he got in, I was saying about all the things that I was going to do to him. But then when he got in, I was so overjoyed because he came in that I refused to let him know that he was wrong, that he had violated the vow that he had made unto me. So he's going to take that as an acceptance of his defiance towards me. So we cannot allow that. So as I said, we have to be able to execute these things and do these things when they're expedient. Now, we're going to keep right on moving. Now, the resolution, as I say, to the procrastination is just do it. As the Nike slogan says, just do it. Don't take much. Because when we go to the job, and most jobs, they have an average of how long it takes to do something. Some of us work a little bit faster than others, so some of us are able to do that amount of work in a shorter amount of time. Because it's something else. Playing catch up. Whether it's with your bills. Now, that's that Rob Peter to pay Paul syndrome that we sometimes go through. Whereas we're going to pay a little bit more on this one right here and just pay enough on this one to keep it from, you know, keep the people from being aggravated at us. So we got to be able to, as I say, when you play catch up, sometimes you never catch up. You know, the interest rate on your credit cards, if you look at those credit cards and they come in, now, the banks, they will tell you, okay, well, I tell you what, you're almost at your max. So we're going to increase your limit. And then when your bill comes, you look at your bill, and on just about every bill it says, if you pay the minimum amount that you're supposed to pay, it's going to take you approximately 6 years to pay this off. So you are playing catch up. But the only thing that you shouldn't play catch up with is with God. You're supposed to be not ahead of him, because nobody goes before the Lord. But you're supposed to be right where you're supposed to be. Because this goes up under the title of work while it's day, for a night coming, no man. I must work the work that's sent. Work the work of him that sent me while it is day, for the night come, and no man can work. That comes up under the title of when I could, I wouldn't. Now that I want to, and I can't. Because of that, why? Because of that procrastination. But the solution to the resolution is to do it. Don't put it off. Don't make a mockery of what God has told you to do, just do it. It's not hard. It's not hard at all. I mean, if we take the time or take inventory on all the time in the day that we spend doing things that are pleasurable to us, and I'm talking about things that's besides working and besides sleeping and eating and taking care of other, you know, hygiene and stuff like that. But we look at the things and the time that we designate to other things, then we realize that we got way more time than we can imagine. So, as I said, the solution to the resolution is don't procrastinate. I know it's a lot of us who want to do better and to be better. But in order for us to do better and to be better, we must, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we must ask the Lord. We must be expedient, like immediately, if not sooner, in our response to what it is that the Lord will have us to do. Because that same soul that the Lord told me to go tell my neighbor to be careful, to watch out, that same soul, and unfortunately for myself, if something happened to that neighbor, it's going to be charged to me. It's going to be charged to you if the Lord give you an order, give you a directive, and you procrastinate with that, and you refuse to do what it is that the Lord would have you to do. So that's why, as I said, we know in advance. If I want to give up smoking, I don't smoke, but I'm just using that as a parable. If I want to give up smoking, and I know that it's causing me some health issues, then why should I want to wait to March the 9th to want to get rid of it? Should I not be love myself enough to say, Lord, you need to take this from me right now? Or is it that I'm deriving so much pleasure from ingesting all of this smoke into my lungs that I want to get a few more puffs? So whatever it is, when we say that we're going to wait, then it's just like we're doubting God's capabilities. And that's something that nobody should put God to task concerning. If I want to quit and I know that it's detrimental to me, and I know that somebody is watching me, or I'm influential concerning my behavior, then I'm going to ask the Lord, Lord, don't let me be the coordinator of somebody else's doing. Because there's somebody, whether you know or not, somebody out there that looks up to you. Somebody out there that emulates you. Somebody else out there that think you got it going on, regardless of what your dilemma is. Somebody else will actually imitate you. But I don't want nobody to imitate me and my bad habits and my contrariness and my disobedience to God. No, but we are our own teachers as far as our children is concerned, as far as our loved ones is concerned. We bring about, I would say, an unfair pattern that within that unfair pattern, we begin to, as I say, we influence people in such a way that it drives them away from God instead of to God. Because if I'm doing this and doing that and doing contrary things to God, people will say, if serving the Lord means that I still can drink, or I'm sending a message that when you serve the Lord, you can still do this and you still can do that. But in the Ten Commandments, he tells you a lot of things that you shouldn't do. You know, tell you all through his words, you know, I'm the master of my body temple. I'm not supposed to defile this temple. Tell you so many things that will help you to rule and to govern yourself. That's why this resolution is so important. This resolution for this year, for this moment, is so important. I not only got to verbalize it, but I got to put it into effect. And I used to think of all the slogans down through the years that people used to say, you know, I'm alive in 95, and you know, in 2007, my aim is toward heaven, and all these different things where people said that in order for them to do these things, they knew that it was a certain sacrifice that they had to make. But I'm telling you, there's no sacrifice greater than one giving their life to God, from one submitting themselves to the beauty, the majesty, the love, the comfort, and all of these things of the Lord. Just like you getting into a car and you turn the wheel over to the Lord. You say, Lord, I know. You know, you're my chauffeur. I know that wherever I'm going, if you're driving, Lord, I'm going to get there safely. So the solution to the resolution is trust God. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Keep your word, and so on and so forth. Because other than that, they say, "What say? I'm just a tinkling breath. I'm just, you know, I'm just talking loud." As James Brown would say, not just James Brown, but the other James Brown. But James Brown would say, "I'm talking loud and saying nothing, like a dull knife. I just ain't cutting." So, I don't want, and you shouldn't want people to look at your word like that. You want your word to be your bond and to be what it ought to be. You want your word to be dependable. So even those vows that we made that we did not verbalize, the thing about that is that God heard them. God heard every vow that we made. And if we verbalize it, because they say a verbal prayer from a righteous man availeth much, I'm just condensing it. But even those ones that I did not verbalize, God heard them anyway. Mm-hmm. And if I verbalize them and I'm sincere about it, got to be sincere. You got to be dedicated. You got to be steadfast. You got to have all of these things, which I got to have that mind made up. So all these things that I just mentioned is the solution to your resolution. Not my resolution, because I don't know what it was that you promised God. I don't know what it is that you have to get rid of. I don't know what it is that you have to sacrifice in order to make you your life better, put you in better standing with God, or put you in better health spiritually, emotionally, and spiritually with God. Now, if I'm 110 pounds and I want to lose 10 more pounds, make a resolution to lose 10 more pounds. See, that's just of the flesh right there. Because I'm not satisfied that my body is sculpted the way that I want it to be, but I should be satisfied with the body that God gave me. Just ask God to keep me healthy, to keep me strong, to keep me on that right path. So I hope that I gave you a solution to your resolution. And if so, then God bless. If not, we let this marinate a little while and hope that it will be a future benefit to all of us. May God bless you. May ever keep you. I thank you for the pleasure of your time, the privilege of your time, taking time out of your busy schedule and listening to what God has to say unto you. And now, may God bless you and may ever keep you. And I'll turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What an awesome, powerful word on tonight for such a time as this. A solution to your resolution. I love the way you put the word on it. And that's what makes it effective, when we put God's word on it, not our personal opinions or feelings. But what do the Word of God have to say about this? A solution to your resolution. That's an awesome word on today. For Deacon Marvin Cox, first message to the listeners, the worldwide listeners, for the year 2019, his very first message. What a powerful, awesome message, again, for such a time as this. I know that I was blessed by this word, and I know that the listeners were blessed. And if we just do according to what the word of God says to us, pertaining to these solutions, that there are resolutions according to God's word. And I hope you wrote these scriptures down. That I have a page four that I was writing down as he was speaking. So that's why it's important that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready so you can follow along with the men and the women that come forth over this worldwide platform delivering God's word so that you can write it down and that you can read it for yourself and see what the Lord has sent to his people for such a time as this. I think the Mother and Cox, we thank you for sharing that awesome word on tonight. And I pray that this word has been received. And I pray that someone that did not know Jesus Christ after receiving and hearing this word on tonight, that it has been received. And they too, even now, today, January the 10th, 2019, can turn around and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them for such a time as this, even now. Because like you said, and it's according to God's word, you know, the nighttime is coming. That's the word from the Lord. That's a promise. He said, the nighttime cometh, and that equals to death. Time equals death, and you cannot work for the Lord when you're dead. So that's why he said, work for him while we have breath in our bodies, while the blood is running warm in our veins. That's why we have to give our hearts and lives and souls over to Jesus Christ, while we have time. But such a time as this, if you're not saved on tonight, you have time. Open your mouth right now. If you hear my voice, if you heard this message on tonight, the Lord has spared you. He gave you another chance to get it right with Jesus Christ and be saved in his name on tonight so that you can come to know your God purpose, so that you will be able to be saved in his name and you will be able to fulfill your God purpose in earth, that God will be glorified through you and that you will have fulfilled your God purpose and that your living will not be in vain. So we thank God for this message on tonight. And again, I pray that it has been received by every listener and that we are going to turn our situations over to the Lord because he said we can cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. And he said in his word that he is not going to put no more on us than we're able to bear. And the word of God also says we have not because we ask not. Everything that we need is pertaining to the word of God. We need to go to the word of God. And then he says we can cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. And we thank God for that. That solution that we can cast all our cares, our solutions, our problems, our heartaches, our disappointments, our enemies, whatever the situation may be in your life, my life, we can take them to the Lord Jesus Christ when we are saved in his name and we can know that he's going to handle the situation. So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox. I thank God for you. Listen, I do pray for you. And once again, I thank God for every listener. Especially for the new listeners on tonight, continue to spread the word. Continue to spread the good news about this worldwide ministry. That's what this is. It's a ministry. The word of God is going forth with power. People are being saved through the word of God over this worldwide platform. God is being glorified, and this ministry is growing, and I thank God for it. And I'm asking the Lord to continue to bless each listener and ask the people to listen to spread the news and let others know about it so they can tune in and be blessed. And others can be saved through the word as well, just like someone just got saved on tonight. I believe it in my spirit that someone just got saved on tonight after hearing this word, this powerful, much-needed word on tonight. So we thank God for you, the listeners. Know that I pray for you, and I'm asking that you will continue to pray for me in this ministry, that it will continue to be everything that God has called and appointed for it to be for his glory. So right now we're going to close out in prayer. I'm asking our listeners if you would please go into prayer with me at this time. And don't forget, this Saturday night, you're going to tune in again on this coming Saturday night and be blessed by the word again and another inspirational point by none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be bringing forth the word again on this coming Saturday. You want to tune in and hear what the Lord is going to say through him again on this coming Saturday night. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward each one of us, in spite of ourselves. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you that you're not like man. You cannot lie, fail, nor change. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and earth in your hands. You are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word is true. and you cannot go back on your word. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. So we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We ask you to continue to bless your people that are being faithful doers, humble doers, committed, faithful doers of your word all over the land, so that we can continue to walk in our God purposes in the earth as you lead us through your Holy Spirit, through your word, that we can fulfill them in the earth for your glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, know that God loves you. I love you too. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Until the next time, this coming Saturday night, please tune in and be blessed by the word again. Until then, good night.